Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good morning to all of you and welcome to worship on this festive Christmas morning here at St. Mark's as our celebration of Jesus' birth in human flesh reaches its culmination on this Christmas morning. The order of service that we will follow is printed for you entirely in the service booklet that you received from the usher as you came into the church this morning. The hymns that we will sing are also listed there in the service booklet. There are several hymns, so please refer to the numbers that are in the service booklet for this morning rather than on the hymn board. I don't think we could squeeze them all on the hymn board. Some are reprinted for you, but others will be found in the red hardcover hymnal, including our opening hymn. Please turn to hymn 55 in the red hardcover hymnal as we open our service with O Come All Ye Faithful. Please stand as we begin with the processional hymn.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears?
If you, O Lord, have the record of sins, O Lord, who is sinned?
Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us.
Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people.
My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
When the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons.
The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
Glory to God in the highest.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that the birth of your only Son in the flesh may set us free from our old bondage under the yoke of sin. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson for this morning is recorded in Isaiah chapter 52. Here the Lord's prophet shares with us the good news that is for all people, that is for you, that is for me. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. Our response to the lesson is hymn 62. The second lesson is recorded in Hebrews chapter 1. This lesson reminds us that God's Christmas gift to you, His Son, is better than any other gift you could ever receive. It is your perfect substitute Savior. That means that you don't have to save yourself. You don't have to comfort yourself. You don't have to try to offer yourself to make up for your sins and your failures. You have a perfect Savior, Jesus, God's Christmas gift to you. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have become your Father"?
Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. In speaking of the angels, he says, make his angels winds, his servant flames of fire. But about his son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and your righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.
This is the word of our God, and we praise him for it with hymn 33. Please stand for the reading of the Christmas Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 35.
Thank you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. In the name of him who has secured God's favor for you and puts you at peace with God. The other night I was watching the news, and I saw one of those feel-good stories. And the newscasters couldn't get enough of it because you know there's enough bad news out there. And so they ate this story up, and they couldn't stop talking about it. It's about a little boy from Tracy. His name was Danny. And his mom worked at some sort of store. They never said what the store was. And they had a collection barrel for toys. And this collection was going to be given to foster children who didn't really have anybody to buy them Christmas presents, so they wouldn't have any Christmas presents. And the closer it got to Christmas, this little boy, Danny, he was 5, he realized that, hey, this barrel isn't filling up, and these kids aren't going to have any presents at Christmas. So he went and he recruited his neighborhood buddy, Bailey. And the two of them went together and they sold Christmas cards and mistletoe to their neighbors. And they collected $206.50. It's a fortune when you're 5, and it's probably not chump change to you or to me either. And it didn't just stop with a little bit of a cash donation. He inspired his friends, he inspired the community, and slowly but surely this barrel in his mom's store, it didn't fill up, it overflowed. And you should have seen his little legs were kicking as they were interviewing him because he was so happy, he was so thrilled that these kids who were going to have nothing were now going to have a great Christmas. And he played a role in giving these gifts, and it just made him feel good. And it made the news anchors feel good. And they said, what a great feel-good story at Christmas time. And there's another feel-good story that we get to talk about today, too. And it has to do with a giver. And this giver looked at the people, and he saw that there was a need, much like Danny and Bailey realized, these kids aren't going to have anything. This giver looked out there, and he saw a need, too. He saw people, and he had compassion on them. And a lot of the people that he saw, sure, they didn't have a lot of money, and some of them had need for money. Not a lot of them had food. They needed food. Not a lot of them had very nice places to live. Some of them had emotional trouble. And when you have those needs, everybody's aware of that. If you don't have enough money to pay your bills, that becomes evident and it weighs heavy on your minds very quickly. If you don't have enough food, your tummy's going to tell you, hey, we need to eat. And it becomes a big deal if you don't have any food. Become very upsetting if you don't know where you're going to live. And if you have some emotional needs, there's a hole in your heart, there's a hole in your lives, and you know you need that filled. But there was a bigger need that these people had. And the giver looked and he saw these people are living in darkness. And what made it worse was they didn't even realize that they had a need. They didn't need the gift that the giver had to give them. And so there's some similarities there between Danny and Abigail and what the giver saw and what he did. But there's also a big difference. Because without this gift, these people were going to be lost in darkness. John told us the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. God, the giver of this gift, saw people. And darkness can be kind of confusing. You're walking down a hallway, it's dark. Maybe you're at your Uncle Jimmy's house, and you get up in the middle of the night and you don't really know your way around the house. Kind of a big deal, but not really. Maybe you stub your toe, maybe you bump your head, you knock something over and you wake everybody up. Not a big deal. It's going to come. It's going to go. This darkness that God is talking about, it's a helpless darkness. It's more like someone drops you in the middle of a foreign country. You don't know where you are. You don't know anybody. You don't have anything. And you can't speak the language, and you are going to suffer, you are going to die. That's more the darkness that God is talking about and that John is talking about. And so God handpicked a group of people, his Old Testament people, to bring light into the world. And he told them, I am going to send you a Savior. I am going to send you a light. But it didn't take long for those people to become bored, complacent with the message. Some of them wandered away from the message, and they went right back down that hallway, and instead of walking to the Lord and to his prophets and to the light, they turned around and they walked the other way, and they found peace and they found comfort elsewhere. So John said that even some of those walked in darkness. John said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to give gifts to a people who were in darkness. He came to give a gift to people who had wandered away from him, to people who didn't even know him yet. And he came and he gave. You know, and it's interesting the way that people responded to his gift. His own handpicked people rejected him. And can't you just imagine that? You see this adorable little 5-year-old and his 6-year-old buddy, and they're going out and they're giving gifts to these children who have nothing. And the children, they open up this presents and they see them and they say, no thank you. And they give it back. And so then Bailey gives a gift to another child and the kid rips it open and says, no thank you. And they say, well, what are you doing? You don't have any presents. You need this present. They say, no, we don't. We don't need what you have. Because the kids down at the other end of the block, they're giving us much better presents. And then Danny and Bailey said, yeah, but you know those kids and the presents that they're giving you, they're not good for you. And they're going to hurt you. And if you hang out with those kids and if you play with these gifts and if you receive these gifts, it's not going to end well for you. And they say, no, thank you. We don't want what you have. And so then they go and they find other kids. And they go and they give those kids their gifts. And they say, no, thank you, too. And how long are these two kids really supposed to try before they finally say, okay, enough? And they give the money that they collected, $206.50, to charity. And they drop off the gifts at Goodwill and they say, forget about it. We're done. I don't know that the newscasters would fault them. I don't know that their parents would fault them. I don't know that you or I would fault them for saying, you know what, enough. If they don't want these presents, there's nothing we can do about it. The giver of every good gift, even though he met with that kind of resistance, even though people reject his gifts, his own handpicked people said, no, thank you, and they found it somewhere else. Even though you and I have done the same to give to the giver's good and perfect gifts, he never stopped. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The giver reveals his glory by giving gifts. And he gave a big gift. He gave his son. And God's word tells us why that's very important for us to understand that this is a gift, that this is a free gift. Elsewhere in Scripture, God tells us what that darkness is like. From Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That'd be like you get this gift and you say, no, thank you. There's other kids over here and they have different, better gifts. Paul's saying that's what all of us were like when we were born, in which we used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. God's word describes the darkness. Without the gift of God's light, this gift, it's foolishness. You know what? I don't need it. I don't want it. St. Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Then Paul also tells us the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So not only are you walking down a hallway in the dark, You are intentionally kicking and pounding on the walls. You are intentionally knocking stuff over, waking people up, causing all kinds of problems. That's what the sinful nature does. That's what the sinful nature looks like. That's what our hostile, sinful attitudes do. So this darkness is not a minor problem. This darkness is not some blemish on your record that you can just take an eraser and you can rub it out. This is not some minor issue you can pretend doesn't exist. It's not like you can go to Danny and Bailey and toss a toy in their barrel and say, "There, good, now God's happy with me." It's not like you can show up here on December 28th and when the plate comes by, you throw more money than you did last time and say, "There, good, now I can be at peace with God. Now God is going to love me," because that's not how it works. The darkness that we are born into, the darkness that all people are born into, is real. And it shows itself in our lives, it shows itself in our attitudes, and in our sinful actions. And just like none of us would fault Danny and Bailey if they just said, "Enough, I'm done." I don't know that when we do some soul searching, we would fault God if God would say, "You know what, I'm done with you. You keep doing this over and over and over again. You love the darkness. You don't want the light. You love the gifts of the world. You don't love my son." But that's not how God operates. God gives good gifts to everyone, to people living in darkness, to his own people who rejected him, to people who don't know him yet. God gives good gifts. I don't know if you've seen the John 3:16 guy around. He holds up the fluorescent signs. I saw him out on Greenback. I saw him up here by the mall the other day. This is how God operates. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gift that God gives to you. That's the gift that God gives to me. That's why we don't have to pretend. We don't have to pretend, "Oh, I didn't hear the parts about sin Pastor was talking about." You don't have to play games and try to be your own savior and try to rub out your own sins. You don't have to try and give more this Christmas so that God will be happy with you. This is how God operates. 1 John tells us, it's a little bit long, so if you're a little sleepy, you have to wake up and pay attention. 1 John chapter 1, "If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." God gives you a perfect gift. He gives you a perfect Savior who was born for you to perfectly walk down the hallway, and he never punched the walls. He never kicked over the lamp. He never caused a scene in the darkness. And he lived that perfect life for you, and he lived that perfect life for me. God's gift to you, God's gift to the world, was born so that he could die. Die for the times that you and I enjoyed being in the darkness. For the times that because of the sinfulness in our hearts, it showed itself in our lives. And maybe you did something you're not proud of. Something you're flat out ashamed of. Something that you know should disqualify you from a relationship with God in heaven forever. God sent his son, who was born for you, to die to pay for all of your sins. That's the good news that brings us into the light. That's the good news that changes our hearts, that changes our minds and our attitudes, and changes our lives. So that even after God gives us a good gift, Jesus, and even after we are living in the light, he still gives us good gifts. We get to come to him anytime we want to and tell him, "I'm sorry that I did this." And he says, "I know you did it, and I love you, and I forgive you, because my son was born for you." You get to live in the light, and he gives you the gift, a wide open throne of grace where you can ask him for anything. You can tell him anything. You can share any burden with you. with him, and he promises to help you, and he promises to bear that for you. Here's the grace, and here's how John talks about it. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You can ask Dad for anything. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. So a couple of kids wanted to raise a little bit of money. They wanted to give some presents to kids who didn't have any. And why did they do that? Because they were good kids. Because they cared. How much more so don't you and I want to give good gifts? Because God has loved us first. Because God has given us the gift of his Son. God has given us the gift of life. Again, we'll go to St. Paul, who says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And not just in this building. We don't just limit it to giving gifts in this building, to singing to God and praising him, to giving him an offering in the offering plate. We get to give when we leave this building, too. We get to go out and be the light of the world. We get to live our lives for our God. We get to give as God has given to us, freely, generously, by loving and forgiving, when it is not easy to be loving and forgiving. Maybe you give the right away when, man, it's your turn. Or maybe you bear an insult and you respond with love and compassion because you don't know what's going on in that person's life. You get to be generous. You get to be free with your giving. Not so that, well, maybe God might give me something in return, but because God has already given you everything. He has given you his Son. You know, the story was inspiring about these two little kids. It was heartwarming. Picturing these kids who didn't have everything, now they have a Christmas gift. How much more so when you and I give the gift of light? Not just at Christmas time, but any time. With your friends, with your family, you get to give what God has given to you. He gives good gifts to everyone. May we enjoy giving as well. Amen. Please stand. We join to confess our faith together with excerpts from the Athanasian Creed. Those are found on page 8 in the worship booklet. It is necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother, fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity. And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one. One not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. One indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one in Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and from there will come to judge the living and the dead. This is the true Christian faith. Please be seated as we respond to God's great act of love to us by offering to him our gifts of love in the form of an offering. Thank you. Our worship continues on page 9 with the responsive prayer of the church. On this holy day, dear Father, we rejoice to hear the good news of great joy that a Savior has been born for us. For fulfilling your prophecies and in the fullness of time sending your Son to be our Savior, we give you our heartfelt thanks and praise. What a great mystery of our faith this is, that God has become fully human for our salvation. Even though he is the all-powerful Lord of all, he is wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. In the midst of our joy, we grieve for the many people in our world who do not know that Jesus has come to bring them forgiveness and healing. As the shepherds spread abroad the good news of the birth of the Savior born for all the world, may we also make use of the unique opportunities this holiday season presents to tell others of what we have seen and heard concerning the child. As the angels sang out their praise, move us also to sing out our praise to you, today and every day, as the joy of Christmas remains in our hearts.
Glory to God in Christ. Amen.
And let us make our preparations to receive the sacrament. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the wonder and mystery of his birth, you have opened our eyes to the glory of your grace, and renewed in our hearts the fervor of your love. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name for the incarnation of your one and only Son. Holy Father, in the beginning you spoke and created light, but we loved the darkness of sin and unbelief. When the time had fully come, you sent your Son to be a light for those walking in darkness and in the shadow of death. We praise you and give you thanks that Jesus, the eternal Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That born of a woman, born under law, he lived without sin as our substitute. That as the Lamb of God, he suffered and died to take away the sin of the world. That he rose from death and lives forever to proclaim peace to all. As the shepherds came to the manger, we now approach your altar with reverent joy. Here we find our Savior, Christ the Lord, who gives us his body and blood for forgiveness and peace. In this sacrament, bring us life and light through your Son, the light and life of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. Christ strengthen and keep you with him in the true faith to life everlasting.
Direct our attention to page 13 in the worship service for our closing songs and prayers. Please stand. Gracious God and Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, was born into this world and took on our human flesh that we might have life and light in his name. Enlighten the hearts and minds of those who have pondered this great mystery in faith and have received his body and blood in this sacrament, that we may live as your children here on earth and finally be received into the heavenly home you have prepared for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Good morning and Merry Christmas to everyone. I very much enjoyed worshiping with you today to celebrating the good news that God gives good gifts to us. May the light of Jesus be in your lives and lived in your lives for the rest of this week. And then you have a chance to build on the Christmas story that we celebrated today. We have church on Sunday again. We get to dig a little bit deeper into what Christmas means and how God really builds us up to be his people as we further dig into the Christmas story. So please come back again for worship on Sunday morning. If you are our worship guest, we truly enjoyed having you in worship today. To say thank you, we have a Christmas gift for you. It's a 3-pack of DVDs that, if you know these stories very well, they work very good to share the good news of Jesus. It walks you through his birth. It takes you through the Easter story, and then they also walk you through how Jesus loved and forgave Peter, even after Peter denied him. So it's a chance to see that, hey, God loves me, and I'm at peace with him, and I can live for him and work for him. So we have that 3-pack DVD gift to share with you. If you are a member of St. Mark's and you want to give a 3-pack to someone to share the Christmas story, please pick one up too, and then you can give any kind of free will offering you'd like to, or you can just share it as a Christmas gift as well. If you brought a gift, make sure you bring them to the table so that you can give that gift to them. And I'll be in the back too if you want to know where to pick that up. We have a new round of Bible information classes starting. There's info on that on page 14 in the worship booklet, so take a look at that. Mrs. Boschek, you certainly wrapped up our Christmas celebration as it started with very fine music, so we praise and thank God for you and your talents and for edifying and beautifying our service today. Thank you very much for your time today. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out, and then I'll greet you one more time in the lobby.